Live Creative Now, Episode 14.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hey, brilliant. This is Live Creative Now, and I'm Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full color creative life. Before we get to the heart of today's episode, I have two announcements. The first is, if you are an insider, check your inbox for news of something coming on August 6th, woohoo, and an opportunity to pre-order right now. That's all I'll say about it. If you're not an insider yet, you can become an insider just by going to livecreativenow.com. And the second announcement is, on Sunday, August 2nd, Live Creative Now hit number one in the self-help category of new and noteworthy on iTunes. Woohoo! Thank you to everyone who has taken the time to leave a review. The only reason Live Creative Now is appearing in iTunes New and Noteworthy at all is due to all the downloads and subscribes and reviews that you have given it. And I am so grateful. I know that people are discovering the creative uprising here at Living a Creative Life directly from this podcast. And without your support, that would not be happening. So thank you, especially because I know iTunes does not make it easy to leave a review. They make it really hard. Keep those reviews coming. If you are not sure how to leave a review, I have step-by-step instructions over at livecreativenow.com. So just head over there and there's a button that you can click for step-by-step instructions. Shouldn't take that long, but iTunes doesn't make it super intuitive. Plus, I wanted to remind you that right now I'm running a contest. And if you subscribe in iTunes and leave a review, you could win a copy of The Art of Work by Jeff Goines, or autographed copies of my CDs of original music, or a 12 by 18 inch poster of my Creative Sandbox Rules, or the grand prize, a half hour one-on-one session with me where you could borrow my brain for anything you want, get past your creative blocks, help with your creative business, whatever you want. And you can get all the info you need over at livecreativenow.com for how to enter. And now, on with today's episode. I want to talk about something that on the surface might not seem like it has anything to do with living a full color creative life, but in fact, it has everything to do with it. I have been walking around with a really heavy feeling in my chest for the past few days. I did something a while ago without thinking that ended up really hurting somebody and betraying their trust. It was completely unintentional on my part, but that doesn't matter. Something that I did hurt someone that I care about, and it damaged our relationship, possibly permanently. This person felt devastated, and I feel devastated that I was the cause of that. I feel embarrassed. I feel ashamed at what I did. It was something that at the time really just didn't occur to me would be a problem, but it is a problem. And now I feel like an idiot. I feel like a really bad person. So what do you do when you make a mistake that has damaging consequences? Well, the first thing I did was to accept responsibility. I acknowledged the damage and the hurt that I caused, and I apologized. I did this thing. I understand that it hurt you, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I was wrong. I didn't realize that my actions would cause offense, and I didn't realize that it would be a breach of trust. But now I realize that. Now I see it. And I feel ashamed. I offered to make reparations as best as I could, acknowledging that the damage was done. And, you know, I couldn't go back in time and undo the damage. And I promised that what I did was not going to happen again. When we've wronged somebody, this is all we can do. We can apologize, acknowledge the offense, offer assurances that it wasn't intentional and that it will not recur, express remorse and shame and humility, and offer whatever reparations we can. This essentially follows the steps of an effective apology, as outlined by Aaron Lazar, who is an apology expert, and I will link to a couple of his articles in the show notes that are really good reading. And all of the things that I did follow his steps of an effective apology. So that's the first step, to apologize and to do all those things. And whether the person forgives me or not, that's out of my hands. They might not. All I can do is seek forgiveness. The offended party might feel that I have damaged the relationship beyond repair, and that feels terrible. Terrible. But I don't have control over anything beyond what I do. I can only do my best and then let go. So that's step one. Step two is what I do have control over. And I believe that this is just as important as the first step, and that is how I treat myself. When we do something that we are ashamed of, it is so easy to go down that black hole of self-flagellation, beating yourself up. Oh my God, I am a terrible person. I'm an idiot. I am irredeemably bad. What is the matter with me? You probably recognize some of that, right? But no matter how much I might feel that, and I do, it's not really useful to go there or to spend any time there. So instead, what I'm working on is practicing shame resilience and self-compassion. You might be aware of the work of Brené Brown, shame researcher, author of many best-selling books, and she has said that reaching out and giving voice to your experience of shame is critical to shame resilience. And I thought of her when I first realized what had happened and I felt this hot flush of shame just washing over me when I discovered that I'd blown it in a big way. I wanted to disappear. I wanted to curl up in a hole. But instead, it was probably a good thing that I was with somebody I felt really close with. I was with my husband, and I knew I was safe with him. And I told him what had happened. And I was mortified, but I told him what happened. And part of me was afraid that he was going to go, "Oh my God, you're such a terrible person." But instead, he was able to listen and to respond with empathy. And as Brené Brown says, empathy is the strongest antidote to shame. If you put shame in a petri dish and douse it with empathy, shame loses power and starts to fade. That's a direct quote from Brené Brown. And that is so true. Sharing what happened with somebody who could listen and respond empathetically rather than with judgment helped pull me out of a shame coma. Now, if I had talked to somebody who would have been like, "Oh my God, you did that? That's terrible." Then it would have not helped at all, right? I needed to share with somebody who could respond with empathy. The next piece is self-compassion. Kristen Neff is the world's foremost researcher on self-compassion, and her book, Self-Compassion, which I will link to in the show notes, has had a really big impact on me. She defines self-compassion as being composed of three elements. The first element is mindfulness. That is our ability to hold our experience in balanced awareness. I call it stepping outside of the distress. So you can look in at all those messy feelings going on, kind of from this neutral place, rather than ignoring the pain or just like completely being absorbed by it and exaggerating it. Mindfulness is that ability to step outside of it and look from outside in. So that's the first element. The second element of self-compassion is common humanity. Recognizing that we're not alone. That suffering and feelings of inadequacy, the feeling like, oh my God, I blew it. That's a human experience. That's something that everybody on the planet goes through. We all go through it. It's not a pathology to make a mistake. It's being human, right? And noticing that and acknowledging that is the second piece of self-compassion. And the third piece is self-kindness. And that is to respond to ourselves gently, being warm and being understanding with ourselves when we suffer, when we fail, when we blunder, when we feel inadequate. Instead of ignoring our pain or beating ourselves up, oh my God, you're such an idiot, all that harsh judgment and self-criticism, being kind to ourselves like we would with a dear, dear, beloved friend. Because that's what we ideally are for ourselves, right? So self-compassion is a combination of self-kindness, a recognition of our common humanity, and mindfulness, which sounds a lot like letting go of perfectionism, don't you think? It also sounds a lot like my golden formula, which is self-awareness plus self-compassion equals the key to everything good. Self-awareness is that mindfulness piece. And yes, in Neff's definition of self-compassion, self-compassion contains the concept of mindfulness within it. But hey, I came up with my golden formula before I discovered Kristen Neff, and I find calling out self-awareness as a separate element in my mind is really, really helpful. So my golden formula is staying, even though it's kind of redundant, technically, from according to Neff's definition. Anyway, here's where the connection between my shame story and living a full color creative life intersect. In order to live a full color life, you have to allow yourself to be where you are. You have to practice self-awareness. You have to practice that skill of noticing your experience, noticing what's working and how it feels, and noticing what isn't working and how that feels. And you also have to practice self-compassion, holding that awareness of your feelings and of your experience without getting sucked into it and treating yourself kindly. Recognizing that you're human and flawed, just like everybody else, and being gentle and kind to yourself. This is something to practice in every area of our lives, in our relationships with others, and in our relationships with ourselves, and with our creative expression. If I can forgive myself for causing damage to an important relationship, guess what? It gets easier to forgive myself for not being as skilled as I wish I were in my painting, my singing, my podcasting, my writing, my teaching, whatever. It becomes possible for me to keep creating, even though the gap between where I am and where I want to be is almost unbearably huge, right? How we do anything is how we do everything. I love this quote, which has been attributed to people, like so many people all the way back to Marcus Aurelius. I have no idea who actually said it first, but I do know it's true. How we do anything is how we do everything. How you relate to the people in your life has so much to teach you about how you relate to yourself and to your art. Everything is interconnected. Everything counts. That's all I have to say today. So that's it. That's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you are enjoying this podcast, I would be so grateful if you would take the time to leave a review on iTunes. If you need instructions for how to do that, you can go to livecreativenow.com and there's a button to click to a page that walks you step by step on how to leave a review on iTunes. Those ratings and reviews are the reason why the show hit number one in the self-help category of iTunes New and Noteworthy this week. So yay, and thank you again. That makes such a difference in helping other people find the show, and that helps grow the creative uprising so you can play an important role in this movement of changing the conversation around creative expression and play simply by leaving an iTunes review. And of course, I would be so grateful. And also, if you have a question about living a creative life that you would like to hear me address on the show, type it into your review and you might just hear it featured on a future episode, because I do prioritize questions that are left in reviews because I want to incentivize you to leave a review. If you include your Twitter ID, I will be sure and give you a shout out if I use your question. And if you'd like your voice on the show, just go to livecreativenow.com/questions and you can leave me a voice message. But remember, I give first priority to questions left in reviews on iTunes. So thanks again for joining me. And until next time, treat yourself gently and go get creating. Mwah!
Live creative now. Live creative now.
Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.